In our afternoon times, we're just coming to the close of 1 Peter, and we have this week and a couple more weeks to finish out 1 Peter, and so we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. After I read these verses, I'm going to quiz the children. I want you to listen for two things. There's an animal that's mentioned in these verses, so I want you to be able to identify what animal is mentioned. And the second question is, that animal is identified with a being. And I want you to be able to tell me who that who that animal is being compared to. Okay? So listen as I read, okay? Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, raise your hand if you heard me read about an animal. Good, good. Susanna, what animal did you hear? A lion, that's right. It's a roaring lion. Okay, now raise your hand if you can tell me who that lion is identified with. How about Ben?
The devil.
That's right. It's compared to the devil. Okay, now I want you to imagine something for just a little bit. I want you to imagine that church service is over and you're going out to your car. And I know how you usually go out to the car. Lots of friends, lots of conversations, lots of fun. Now imagine how you would go out to your car if you knew that there was a roaring lion waiting somewhere out there among the cars. You'd go. Yeah, we'll let Jonathan go first. Send Jonathan.
There's two lions that could be a
horse. Nathan, how would you go out there? Okay. Danny?
I'd scare it off.
Go out there with a gun. You might send Mr. Spittler out with one of his high-powered rifles and ready to...
I don't know, not in the parking lot.
Not in the parking
lot. Gas tank, make it worse.
Okay, that's enough imagining. it could get worse. But you would go out into the parking lot in a very different way, wouldn't you? If you knew that there was a very dangerous lion somewhere out there hiding among the cars. Right now we go outside and we're just having lots of fun, and we're enjoying each other's friendship, and it's a good thing. We know there aren't any lions out there. Well, we have a warning here about a lion. And that lion is identified as an enemy of God and an enemy of ours, that great adversary, the devil. And we're going to think about that. It comes right on the heels of a verse that we like a lot. It talks about casting all our cares upon him, for he cares for you. And as I've thought about that verse, sometimes it's led to a wrong type of rest. It's led to a type of rest that has has no care or no responsibility. And we might read that verse out of its context and think, well, I'll just throw everything on God and let God do everything to the end that I am careless and lazy and am not involved in the responsibilities of the Christian life. So I want you to see it in its context and see the call that Peter gives to be on our guard against a roaring lion. And we'll see as well that there's hope because of that. And I'd like to just do this by thinking about the different commands that Peter gives right here. He says to be sober, to be vigilant, to resist him. So those are the three commands that Peter gives. And we'll see how important these are. Let's define, first of all, sobriety. What does it mean to be sober? Anyone can answer that. What's it mean to be sober?
Clear head.
Okay, good.
Sensitive to what's going on.
Uh-huh. You know, we commonly pair it up with drunkenness, which would be an opposite of sobriety or being sober. And it has it does have the broader meaning, which you've identified very well, of being clear thinking or clear headed. And I would link with that within that idea of being clear-headed and clear-thinking, that there's decisive action that goes along with it. And it's the opposite. You can see how that helps us to define this when we think of someone who is in some type of a stupor or is not sober-minded. That's someone who has an unresponsive mind or clouded thoughts and therefore unresponsive or clouded actions. This call to being sober in this context is an important one because wrong thinking or clouded thinking about God, about the devil, and about yourself can lead you to inaction or lead you to be self-confident. Imagine going out into the parking lot again and thinking there is no lion and being surprised, or going out in the parking lot and thinking there's a lion out there but it can't hurt me and being surprised. those are aspects of where clouded thinking can leads to indecisive action or unresponsive actions in regards to our spiritual condition and the spiritual warning that is out there. What is vigilant? Help me define what vigilant is. Danny?
Watchful.
That's right. That means to be watchful, to be on your guard because of a potential attack. So again, you go out into the parking lot and you might just kind of peek out the door and see what there is to see and look around the corner and make sure that the lion isn't right there ready to jump out and pounce on you, and check underneath the cars and be watching for the potential of an attack. And here it's very important because we need to realize that the adversary, the enemy, does really exist. It's if you put it into other language, or to put it into the language of our military,
I'd make a comment. When it talks about diligent, if you've never stood a watch, and you know, early in my career, when I was a midshipman, I got paired up with one of the seamen, and we were all the way back at the end of this big ship, and you were there for 8 hours, and it was we were we had the night shift, and you were supposed to be vigilant. But, you know, 8 hours of just watching water go by you, and you're, you know, 1,000 feet from where, you know, the structure of the ship is, you tend to not be as vigilant as you were when you first started. And you start nodding off. And there was two of us, but normally there would only be one person there. And they were very, very junior. And if they slept or fell asleep and something happened, that's the importance of the vigilant. It's probably the last part of the watch is where you got to be your most vigilant, because it's easy at the first hour.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, you can only watch so much water go by.
Yeah. Well, there's some important truths in that for the spiritual condition. Did you ever see an enemy? Did you have to act like there would be an enemy, though? It's even though you never ever saw an enemy.
Well, sometimes it was for safety, or
yeah,
you were looking for something out of the ordinary.
Yeah. And when I think about the roaring lion that Satan is, in one sense, I could say, well, I've gone a week and I haven't seen any roaring lions, and so I put up the weapons and I put up the I soften the guard, and I think, well, either the enemy isn't out there, the enemy is sleeping, the enemy isn't active. And God is giving a very serious warning that yes, indeed, the enemy exists, and not only that, the enemy is active. It's a lion who is seeking to devour, one that is a strong and terrible enemy that is that can tear and destroy. And just because maybe I haven't seen him over the last week or over the first part of my watch doesn't mean that he doesn't exist or that I haven't met him. Now, I can assure you that I've met the lion, that we've done battle with him, and that the enemy does exist, and that there are terrible consequences to his attacks. And I'd like to characterize that terrible action of Satan in two different ways. One is to think of the maybe the frontal assault, the terrifying attack that Satan gives, and I'd also like to think of the more sneaky, more insidious attacks that Satan can bring against the church. And I do that. I was remembering something that C.S. Lewis wrote this week. I was prompted to remember it by an article. Door creaking open. No.
Just a spirit.
That's right. Perfect timing. It was. Something written in World Magazine that Andrea Sue wrote about reading something in C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. And in the Screwtape Letters, Lewis imagines the enemy, and imagines the dialogue that happens between the master and the private, the general and the private, and the private is sent out to plague the believer. And so there are these letters that go back and forth between the general and the private, and he's giving counsel as to how to attack attack the church and attack the people that are around him. And one of the ways that, what was quoted by this article in World Magazine was to attack the believers in the circumstance of prosperity and boredom. That is, well, the general says that is the most fruitful time for attacking, is when your subject is at his ease, and when he is thinks that he is safe and prosperous, and to attack at that moment he is most vulnerable. And the attacks that Lewis imagines are sometimes those terrible rushing onslaughts of Satan that you might think of persecution, or Satan trying to defame the church. I've shared some about my trip to South Africa and the churches there that were represented that are literally undergoing physical persecution because of their faith in Christ. That roaring nature of the lion that comes to attack. There are churches that are suffering under the attack of eminent domain. There may be a less of the roaring attack of persecution and death that sometimes happens, but still an organized attack against churches. There are churches that are suffering more insidious or more sneaky types of attack. Attacks like pride and division, immorality and rebellion and racism, things that creep into a church and bring destruction and bring terrible division and hatred among believers so that they fight against each other. And in our own condition, in our own situation here in the United States, we don't face that roaring frontal assault very often of Satan, but more often that sneaky, insidious attack that when we think that we are resting and at ease, when we're prosperous, and Satan attacks and sows seeds of division and immorality. The command that is given then is to resist the devil. And I was glad that you didn't say, well, let's not go out into the parking lot, because that's because there's a lion out there. That's not part of the answer that Peter gives either. His answer isn't to flee the devil and he won't catch you. It's not to hide from the devil and he won't find you. It's an active word that's used here. In fact, to be sober, to be watchful, to resist him are all very active words that are used, and they imply a vigorous action on our part. And so he says to resist the devil. Resist the devil, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And I want to focus in our last few minutes here on that verse, thinking about how it is that we resist the devil. What's the significance of being steadfast in faith? How does that arm us, as it were, to resist the devil? How is it that it's important to be steadfast in faith?
Almost circular. I mean, you have to have faith to be steadfast, and being steadfast helps you to be. It just seems to me it's just the more the more often you practice and are steadfast and get confidence that, yeah, this faith I have is really going to protect me.
Yeah.
The faith, I think, or maybe say, believe God in verse 10. He says, and after you've suffered a little while, God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Have faith in that promise that thus you resist the devil, you know, with joy because of this.
Yeah. And all of these are tied together. There is, we sometimes talk about a vicious cycle, a downward spiral that would come because of despair and faithlessness. On the other side of things, as we've seen before, God has called us to submit to Him, and God has called us to exercise faith in Him. And there's the opposite of a vicious cycle would be something like Brian has described, where there is strength flowing from strength, that God grants faith and grants the exercise of that faith, which makes us faithful, makes us steadfast. And so there's a spiral leading upwards rather than down. Dan?
Our faith is in Christ, and He becomes then our strong tower and our rock and our shield of faith.
Yeah.
He's Christ.
Go back to Psalm 31 and meditate on Psalm 31 that talks about God's and Christ being our shield, our deliverer. Yeah, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, with Him being our strong tower, the refuge and the rock, these aren't things that you think of changing all the time.
Mm.
The rock doesn't move just because it gets cold or windy, and Jesus didn't change His just because He was attacked by the roaring lion. He was attacked physically. He was attacked spiritually his whole life and certainly through his ministry. And he didn't go and change his whole game plan or like a military, like an officer changing the whole battle plan just because of an adversary. He remained steadfast to what he was called to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I suppose you could be saying that here as well, but we remain solid in that. Just because we face opposition from Satan doesn't mean we waver then.
Yeah, and in that context, the faithfulness of God and the leadership that He gives to us is one that inspires that type of steadfastness in us. The other part of this verse connects us with other believers, even saying that there is a brotherhood in the world that is that experiences the very same things that we are experiencing. And I was, in this context, I was just struck by the significance of the community of Christ and how important that is in the resisting of the enemy. That it happens especially in the community of believers. And there are a couple of things that does for us. One is that it tells us that we're never alone in whatever it is that we're experiencing. That we have someone that God has placed us with for the very purpose of helping us to resist. We're also never alone in the context of seeing the centrality of Christ. And I'm glad that Dan brought that up in the context of the being steadfast in faith. And in the earlier verses, Jesus Christ is identified as the chief shepherd. And I think that imagery of the flock is continuing down through these verses, so that the flock that is being threatened by lions is guarded over by the chief shepherd, by Jesus Christ Himself. So we're never alone, but we're connected with others in our own sufferings, and we're connected with them in their sufferings. And it gives us a very important view of as we persevere in faith to see how we participate in a community and we're part of something that's bigger than us. And it's bigger in that sense of what Christ is doing. The kingdom of God is present in the world. And in fact, He said that His church will be built by himself, by his effort through the mission of the church, through the evangelization of the world, so much so that the gates of hell will not prevail against the work that he has done. This is the call that Peter gives, and I think hearkening back to the charge that Christ himself gave to Peter, that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we have the ability then to rest in Christ, to cast all our cares upon him because he cares for you. But it's a rest that's vigilant and sober and active in resisting the enemy Satan. We're going to close in prayer and then you can go to your cars. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for calling us in Christ and equipping us with faith and clothing us with the armor of God. Lord, I pray that we would rest in you in the right way, not in a lazy or unthinking way, but that we would rest in you in this very active way, exercising our faith, exercising a sober mind, a watchful spirit, and an active resisting of Satan. Lord, as we come face to face with the tempter, as we come face to face with the enemy, day by day, whether it be by the frightening assaults or by the sneaky attacks, I pray that you would help us to identify those and to resist his work, resting only in Christ, who is our Redeemer and our Chief Shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.